Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, and this is the TMO's Daily Observation Podcast. Oh my God, I did it! I'm Brian Chaffin, and with me is Kelly Gaumont.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I feel high, even though I am not high.
You sound very enthusiastic about the Daily Observations podcast today.
Punch drunk. No, I'm just excited to have gotten through the intro properly.
Because, excellent. You know,
sometimes, unfortunately, that is an accomplishment.
That's true. You got to take a victory where you can get it.
You do indeed. Now, we are here today. Jeff, we did this thing yesterday where we pretended we didn't know where Jeff was. But this is Jeff's last day out. So Kelly and I are here to talk about some things.
And also stuff.
And stuff, yeah. It's just the most ridiculous intro ever. So GT Advanced Technologies. You know, I'm still fascinated by these guys. And right up front, I spent like $40 buying 28 shares when it was $1.50 in the wake of the bankruptcy. So, you know, I am a massive shareholder in this company, but doesn't affect what I had to say about GTAT, Apple, or any other company ever, because my holdings are just not enough to worry about. So, GTAT, they're back in the news.
And why is that?
They announced yesterday, through court filings, they didn't really announce it. They said in court filings that they have come to an amicable, what's the actual words they use?
Parting
amicable,
of
parting, a- amicable parting, yes, with Apple. An amicable parting after calling Apple's agreement burdensome and oppressive and burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Oppressive
and burdensome.
It was all of like a week ago.
It was all of, yeah, exactly. And in between now and then, they've been able to hammer out an agreement with Apple. Now, this is all complicated stuff because bankruptcies are overseen by a federal court. There's a bankruptcy court. It's a whole separate little branch of the judicial system.
Before we make it to what bankruptcy court entails, let's tell people really quick, for those who don't remember, what GT Advanced Technologies actually was. GT Advanced Technologies is a company that manufactures sapphire.
Well, technically, they make furnaces.
Oh, okay. Which makes sapphire.
They're actually a furnace maker, but of course, they also happen to be experts in operating those furnaces.
Okay. So they built a plant in Mesa, Arizona?
They actually, Apple bought a plant.
Okay.
In Mesa, bought a big facility, a very large facility in Mesa, Arizona. It used to be a solar plant, a panel plant. And Apple dedicated part of that facility in Mesa to the production of sapphire, with GT Advanced Technologies being the company that would own and operate the equipment, paid for by with loans, advanced loans, basically from Apple, and they would make sapphire in that plant exclusively for Apple.
Right. So we start hearing that this is a partnership. The details of this start to come out, that Apple has prepaid millions and millions of dollars to GT Advanced Technologies in order to get this off the ground, knowing what we know about GT Advanced, and that what they do is make these furnaces and are well versed in their operation. It was presumed that they were making sapphire to be the air quote glass cover on some sort of screen. And the presumption earlier this year, when all of this started to come out, was that it was going to be the new iPhone screens, that were all going to be sapphire screens.
And of course they weren't. And it was, we've talked about a lot of this before. So there was all this business with executives of the company selling off their own stock in the months leading up to the iPhone's release. And of course, you know, they knew that at that point that
it wasn't them.
The material wasn't going to be sapphire.
We also had the mysterious, we're going to tell you all about the Apple Watch, even though you can't get one until next year, which is supposed to have sapphire covers when the Apple Watch is officially released.
Yeah, but I've maintained all along that's just not a lot of sapphire material.
No, but my presumption was that part of the reason that the Apple Watch was suddenly something they were going to tell us all about but not give us until next year was because something had derailed in Arizona.
Possible. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But that's probably a separate discussion.
Yeah. But anyway, so for people who are wondering why we're so interested in this company, in this furnace company, there's a little background about why.
Yeah, and I am just personally fascinated by sapphire as a product too. It's synthetically grown material that is just, you know, is I think it's next to diamonds in the whatchamacallit scale of hardness. But we don't know if Apple's going to be using it for anything. That's the interesting thing is we don't know how much of what's going on with GT Advanced Technology has to do with Apple not using their stuff at all, or if it was all problems with GT Advanced Technologies, et cetera. Now, one of the things that's come out in court filings that I don't think we talked about is the GT Advanced Technologies claims that they were losing $1.5 million a day operating that plan on Apple's behalf. This was part of the oppressive and burdensome agreement.
And why do we know it's oppressive and burdensome? Because GTAT came out and said...
Yeah,
this is an oppressive, burdensome. This was exactly how they characterized it.
Yeah, but it was definitely their editorializing on those agreements, and so $1.5 million a day they were supposedly losing operating this factory, and the final component in this, what really makes this new settlement between them interesting, is that it would allow Apple to keep the documents of their agreement sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important in that the judge indicated last week that while he temporarily allowed everything to remain sealed, he was actually inclined to unseal everything.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got attorneys from New Hampshire, you've got attorneys from major newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal on hand, arguing that the public has an interest in knowing exactly what went wrong because hundreds and hundreds of people have lost their jobs over this.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said that he's inclined to leave everything sealed. And then, boom, all of a sudden Apple's ready to settle. Part of that settlement would include those documents remaining sealed, which kind of, to me, implies that Apple was willing to give a GTAT probably a better deal in order to reach that settlement so that they could bypass the judge wanting to unseal everything. We don't really know, but it's super interesting.
Right.
Super interesting. Now, we had readers leave some very excellent comments. And one of the ones I thought was really, really interesting was from JFBIII and Kevin Lane, who were discussing whether or not part of what's in the secret, part of what's in the documents that Apple wants to keep secret are details about some other product that we still don't know about.
Oh.
And that was what the sapphire was for.
That would make sense.
Speculation, but that's fun speculation, and it kind of makes sense because it's hard to believe that what Apple really cares about is the financial stuff.
Right. That's not.
That's very hard. It's very hard to believe that Apple would make any kind of sweetheart deal for this bankruptcy just to keep, you know, who was getting paid what secret. That really doesn't make sense. So
right, because most of what's happened is stuff that we already know.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, it remains interesting. Now, you wrote up a piece yesterday about Apple Pay and about security. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us about that?
So here's the thing is that I am on, I believe, because I honestly have lost count, I believe I'm on my fourth new credit card in 2014 because somebody somewhere, there is a possibility that someone somewhere got a hold of the one that I had, and so I received a new one. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Visa, you know, Bank of America, where my Visa comes from, determining that perhaps my data is now unsafe and they need to issue me a new card. I have no problem with that. My big concern, honestly, is that they just show up in the mail and then I'm worried about the old one deactivating and I don't know what happened that caused them to send me the new one. So anyway, what's interesting to me is that just as I put this piece up yesterday, was about the time we started hearing that Staples is reporting a big fat credit card breach, which was really awesome. So, also because I've been shopping there recently, so I'm just waiting for a new card to show up in the mail. Number five in a year. So the thing that about Apple Pay that was interesting. So for those who don't know, Mr. Kelly has an iPhone 6, and so when 8.1 was released, he said, "So what's the deal with Apple Pay? How do we make this work?" So we walked through it using Brian's handy dandy how to set up Apple Pay.
Excellent.
Information. And so went through it, set them up. And then he said, "Well, why would I want to do this? Why do I want to give my credit card number to my phone? You know, if I lose my phone, what'll happen to my stuff?" So I found a really interesting piece by a guy named Kirk Lennon. And the reason the piece is interesting is because it's A, not super duper long and not super duper in depth on security stuff, which it's very easy to get really, really deep into and lose a lot of people's interest in, particularly if they can't keep up. So he did a really good job of striking this balance between here's information that you need to know and then delving like really far into details that aren't going to really matter. So he talked first of all about what's wrong with the Stripe and the way that the Stripe the magnetic stripe transactions are handled. He talked about, you know, what's wrong with that. Then he talked about what chip and PIN cards do for you. And then he talked about how, which is more secure than the Stripe. And then he talked about how Apple Pay is even more secure still. So the interesting thing here to me about the way Apple Pay works is that there is no official, there's no actual credit card number that is stored on your phone. So if you lose your phone, nobody gets your credit card information. They can't just open it up and look at it and get your 16-digit number and then go start filling it in at Amazon and going on a shopping spree. It doesn't work that way.
In fact, what's happening is that the Apple Pay / your iPhone are coming up with their own number. That becomes a sort of representation of your credit card.
Right. And the thing that's interesting about it is that it still will look like a credit card number. So whatever the number is that Mr. Kelly is carrying around on his phone right now, which is a Visa card, is a 16-digit number and it starts with a 4, just like a Visa card. But something about the way the number is constructed makes it not usable if you go try to fill that information in on another website to try and buy things.
That's just sexy. That's good stuff.
I love how they did that. And the reason that that is beautiful to me is because of the other piece that I talked about people who are talking about hacking contact payments.
Right.
Or contactless payments, this near field communication payment system, which is what Apple Pay basically is. The thing that's interesting to me about this is that and the way I put it in the piece is it's like your credit card is like it's like credit card numbers are Kleenex, because you get one and you use it once and it's basically useless to anybody who wants to use it after you. Because if somebody were to skim that number off of whatever, you know, off of the transaction somehow, when they get that 16-digit number that starts with 4 and they're all excited because they're going to go on a shopping spree on the Best Buy website, they can't, because it's not a legitimate credit card number. And in order for the transaction to go through, there's a second piece of information that goes back to the bank, which is this security token that includes some information specific to the purchase. So even if they get both of those pieces of information, they still can't do anything because you still have to transmit a security token with it. And that security token is specific to that transaction. And it's generated on the fly. There's a lot more to it if you really want to dig into it. But that piece in itself just makes me go, wow, somebody really, really, really cracked it. And this makes me wonder, when we had the interview with Tim Cook where he was talking and, you know, and we heard from Steve Jobs about how something that they've cracked, this is the thing that I wonder if the execution on this on the back end is the part that they were talking about.
No, it was specifically about Apple TV. He was, Steve was saying that they cracked the code on how to make an internet-connected TV work.
That's right. I'm thinking of when Tim was talking about product categories and said that they had something exciting and they had cracked something. I don't remember exactly what the wording was, but they had cracked something for people. I'm sure we'll get some letters about it because I don't remember. But
yes, letters, because our listeners tend to be very, very paper and stamp bound.
Especially those who are going to talk to us about Apple Pay.
Yeah.
But the interesting piece to me was the way this is all executed, basically. At least as a person who would use it, doesn't matter at all. The fact that it works and the fact that it's secure and the way that it's secure is really, really awesome to me because it means that folks don't have the problem that they have now.
This is Apple. This is Apple doing what it does at its best. Making something incredibly complex, incredibly easy.
Right.
And you know, just doing it in this transparent way. Now, of course, there's still plenty of time for Apple Pay to blow up in a negative way.
You know, oh, certainly.
It was just launched 2 days ago. People are just now starting to do it. There's still, you know, a tiny minority of retailers that take it. But, you know, Apple could definitely be on its way to disrupting payments and doing what no one else was able to do. So thanks for writing up that piece and thanks for being here today on what's the show called?
This one is the Mac Observer Daily Observations. That's right. Podcast.
That's what it is. And I'd like to apologize to everyone for the system noises that went through here. This is a new setup for me to do the show in Jeff's absence. So that's why that is. Anyway, thanks for being here, Kelly.
You are more than welcome.
Off we go then.